I think we'll go to the next verse. Because when Krishna was talking this, Arjuna had an expression on his face, which those of us who have a little bit of intelligence, we get this, if we are an absolute simple person, somebody is telling you something good, you accept it 100%. Okay, Krishna, I know you are God and you are more knowledgeable. I accept it 100%. But those of us who have a little bit of intelligence, we are always suspicious when anybody is trying to put new ideas in our head. We say, why is this person giving this? You know, maybe he has some hidden agenda, or maybe he's trying to brainwash me. See, we are all so afraid of being brainwashed that when anybody comes with any new ideas, our first react, if it's new, if it's something I haven't heard, can't be. It's not right. Or this guy has some hidden idea or some hidden agenda, or he's trying to brainwash me. So Arjuna must have had that expression that, Krishna, I don't think I believe you. You know, where did you suddenly come up with this idea of field and over of the field? This is something new. You know, I have never heard this and I don't believe it. So Krishna had to reassure him that I'm not trying to brainwash you. It's not my idea. I suddenly didn't come up with it. But it is a old idea that we have had for thousands of years. So in the verse number 5, he gives references, you know, like somebody publishes an article, which is a brand new idea or concept. And if he suddenly publishes it and people say, where did you get this? But then if you look at the bottom of the article, they'll have 20 references. That there are other scientists, other authors, other, you know, professionals who have come up with similar ideas. And I have studied those articles, taken those ideas, and then come up with a modification or newness. Like you're talking about physics and somebody said, I don't believe this theory. What are you talking about? This is bakwas. It's a no. You know what? This is based on Einstein's theory of relativity. He said, Einstein, why didn't you tell me first? Then I would have believed you. You know, if you had said this is based on, then I would have understood of you. I thought you are just talking some nonsense. But if it is based on theory of relativity, then it must be right. So here Krishna tells us that this is not my original idea. I am restating what has been talked about for many thousands of years. Verse number 5. Rishi bhir bahudha gitam. Chando bhir vividhaif prithak. Brahma sutra padaischaiva hetu madbhir vinischitaihi hetu madbhir vinischitaihi. It's a tongue twister. Took me a while to understand this word, but anyway, he says rishi bhir bahudha gitam. Bhi means it's the instrumental case, the third case in Sanskrit means by the rishis, bahudha gitam, in many songs. Songs means the, and then chando bhi, and in the chants. See, in the Vedas, we have a lot of songs, like the Sam Veda is full of songs, and then there are a lot of chants in all these mantras, Om Bhur Bhava Swaha, and all those mantras we have. So he says, vividhai prithaka, different types of variety of songs and variety of mantras and variety of chants has been expounded by many rishis. It's not my idea. What I am telling you is basically has been described in the Upanishads, has been described in the Vedas, has been described in many other texts before that have been composed. So what I am saying is chando bir vividai prithaka brahma sutra pada. Brahma Sutras are very interesting texts, which are very short. I'll talk a little bit about that. He says in the aphorisms, Brahma Sutras are the aphorism, these one-line statements that have a lot of power, lot of meaning. So in the lines or the padas of the Brahma Sutra, and what are they? Hetu madbhir vinishchitaihi. And these ideas are very logically explained in all these texts. They are not randomly thrown, or it's not like somebody says, thou shalt believe this, if not, thou shalt go to hell. It's not like that. It has been scientifically explained by rishis over thousands of years. They have experienced it. They have applied it in their life. They have meditated upon it. And they have. So, and this same experience has been reproduced by all of them. If you look at all the Upanishads, there are 108 or actually more than that. The idea in them is all the same. The end result is the same. The goal is the same. But the means they use to reach are different. The methodology is different. The language is different. So it's like I go to the garden and I collect flowers from different trees. And then I make a beautiful garland. And then I offer it to the Lord. Now, what I have done is I have taken flowers from different trees and made a beautiful garland. So similarly, Krishna says that these ideas that I am giving to you in the Gita are not my original ideas. I have collected ideas from all the texts. I've collected it from the Vedas. I've collected it from the Upanishads. I've collected it from the Brahma Sutras. And these ideas, if you study in detail, if you go into the depth of it, you will find that they are very logical. There is proper reasoning. There is proper understanding. Only thing what it requires is that a person should put the effort. And these texts are so complex, like the Upanishads or the Brahma Sutras, that one needs a teacher. Because the idea of this text was that they were written in brief Sanskrit. And they were written in a very suggestive language, not direct. And so either you were that smart, do you understand, or most of the time you need a guru or a teacher to study these. So that's why Krishna says that what I am telling has been told already by many rishis. And that's why I thought I'd talk a little bit about Prasthantrayi. Actually, Prabodhji, I think if you have listened from Prabodhji, he always talks about Prasthantrayi. He says that our Vedanta, or the essential knowledge of the Upanishads, has three different methods or three different paths or three different book or group of texts that explain it. One is, of course, the Upanishads. The Upanishads is the most direct. You know, Upanishads is the best. They say just as your eyes is the means to see the tree, your ears are the means to hear the sound. That is called Pratyaksha Praman. I see the pointer. Okay, I know it's a pointer. I know it is of steel. I hear a sound. I know it is music. So that is Pratyaksha Praman. Then there is something called Anuman, that I see fire. I don't see fire. I see smoke behind the mountain. So I see smoke. Then I say there must be fire. Why? Because in the past, I have seen fire and it produces smoke. So they say where there is smoke, there must be fire. So that is called Pratyaksha Praman, where I see something and then I believe it. So the Upanishads are the direct means of knowing Brahman. If you want to know who you are, there is no other method except studying the Upanishads. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita and the Brahma Sutras, they fall in the same category of these texts that are the praman, that is the proof, that is the path, that is the way to study. So Upanishads are very, very beautiful. And then the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna says in the Gita Dhyanam that we chant before, it says, Sarvopanishado gavo dogda gopala nandana. So these Upanishads are cows, and Krishna was a cowherd, you know, so he has milked the essence of these Upanishads into this Bhagavad Gita, made it easy for us to understand. Just as the cowherd milks the cow and gives us the milk, so similarly, Krishna has given us the essence of the Upanishads in the Bhagavad Gita. The Brahma Sutras are very interesting texts, which not too many people know too much about because they are extremely hard. You have to be a advanced Vedantic scholar, a PhD student, to study the Brahma Sutras. The beauty of the Brahma Sutras is that they are one line, maybe just 3-4 words. And these aphorisms have so much value, so much meaning, and so many interpretations can come out of that, that they are very, very difficult to understand unless you have a guru or a teacher. They say there are 555 of these Brahma Sutras, these aphorisms divided into four parts, which talk about who is this God or consciousness, how to reach him, what are the paths, and what is the benefit. And also they talk about, they refute the arguments. You know, people who say that Upanishads are useless or Advaita is wrong, so these Brahma Sutras can refute that. The interesting thing about the Brahma Sutras I was reading is that they can be interpreted in many ways. In fact, the Brahma Sutras, three different people have written major commentaries on it. One is Shankaracharya. And Shankaracharya, as you know, believed in Advaita, that there is only one, there is no two. Dvaita means two, Advaita means not two. There is only one consciousness, and this whole universe is just an expression of that, just a manifestation of that, just a appearance on that. So he wrote a commentary, Shankaracharya, and he proved that the Brahma Sutras talk about Advaita. Then Ramanujacharya came. He said, these Brahma Sutras, they talk about Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta Advaita means there is God and I am a part of him. I cannot be that powerful, I am a part, just as the sun and there are sun rays. So I am a ray, I came out of God, I am a part of him, but I cannot be one with him. I can never be. But I am a part. I am not away from him. So that is Vishishta. So he said, Brahma Sutra talks about that. And then Madhavacharya came. He said, no. Brahma Sutras talk about Dvaita. That there is God and me. And I am separate from him. I can never, he is all powerful, all knowing, all permanent. I am temporary, I am miserable. So the same Brahma Sutras by three different scholars were interpreted in three different ways. One said it is Advaita, one said Vishishta Advaita, and one said Dvaita. So that's what the beauty of this text is. So what Krishna is telling us, that what I am telling you is not new, is there in all of these, is there in the Upanishads, is there in the Brahma Sutras. I am just restating, and I have summarized it and made it easy for you to understand. So this, he kind of reassures the student that you can go back and study these texts and you will find the same ideas in them. Any comments? No, Vakyavritti is a text written by Shankaracharya which is a commentary on Tattvamasi and Aham Brahmasmi. No, that is a part of the Upanishad. Those are Mahavakyas in the Upanishads. The Brahma Sutras, it starts with Athato Brahma Jignyasa. That means the person who is desirous of knowing Brahma. So Vakyavritti is a commentary on these two Mahavakyas. You are that, and I am. Right. No, Mahavakya is from the Upanishads, from the different Upanishads. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhave. Om shanti shanti shantihi, harihi om shri gurubhyo namah, harihi om.